I was sitting before the Lord throughout the week, just about life and where he's taking me and what he's doing now. And it's always weird for me when I talk about what the Lord is doing now. And I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. When I make the statement, or when we make the statement of what the Lord is doing now, it's always funny because God is not restricted by time and dates and all of that. We are. So we say what the Lord is doing now, and the Lord is like, no, what I've been doing on your behalf before you were in your mother's womb, that you're finally now becoming aware of and accepting. Okay, God, that's a hard one to fathom, but I get it. You're God. He said, I need you to think about something. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You in Christ. Christ in you. You in Christ. That makes sense to us as Christians, right? How am I in you and you're in me? Like one of us has to be in the other. We both can't logically be in each other. And that's the mystery of the things of God to begin. I'm in you, but you're in me. For me to be in you, you're in control because I'm in you and you're making the moves, I'm flowing with you. But then you and me gives me a control. But really, you're in control inside of me if I allow you to be controlling things. I know it sounds a little weird, but it is the way this is the mystery of the beauty of the walk with God. I'm in you. You're in control. You're in me. I'm in control to give you control of me. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said to the Lord, sit here, obey me, and watch what I do. Give me control and watch how I control things. See, I know I'm going straight in. I know I usually bring you up to it a little bit, but we're just kind of diving straight in this morning. And I said, okay, so you keep giving me back control so I can give you control. You keep giving me the authority so that I can turn the authority over to you. So when we use terms like surrender, we usually use those terms to talk about turning over to God the things we can't control. But what I'm learning is the true definition of surrender is turning over everything you can control, because everything has been put under your feet and in your control, and your responsibility constantly is to totally be surrendering that control, so that he can control that control through you. My God. So I said, God, that really doesn't make intellectual sense. How do I explain this to people in a way that they understand it? And he gave me this verse. And he said, I want you to read this one verse, and I want you to share from this one verse. Jeremiah 32. And hopefully, as I share what's on my heart today, this verse will be an anchor for you to receive and achieve, even if you don't understand. I'm starting at verse 26 and says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am Lord, the God of all mankind, is anything too hard for me? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to give the city into the hands of the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who will capture it. And I said, okay, you're about to turn by this instruction, I'll go more into it, this over to what we know as the enemy. Watch this. You're going to do this. You're going to turn this over to them, which seems to be counterproductive to what I'm believing you for. But in that move, we were sitting at the table last night, me and the Jones family, and I was sharing with them a revelation that God gave me. That even what we call bad or negative is necessary for our positive. Now, I'm not talking about cancer and disease and God putting you through changes. That's not what I'm talking about. Stay close. And God, hear this out. This is very, very, very touchy, but hear me out. There's no bad. There are things that he tells us not to do, and there are things that he speaks against as sin and evil, not because they're bad for him. They don't affect God. God's not affected by bad. What do you mean by that? Well, Satan came before him with evil intent in his heart, and he was dispelled like lightning from heaven. So bad or evil doesn't stand in the presence of God. We understand that. So God's not up in the kingdom dealing with good and evil. I need to make sure you understand that. That stuff we deal with here in between the realms of the heavens, be it the what Satan is doing, what God is doing. But in the kingdom, there is no bad. There is no evil in God's presence. I hope you're staying with me on this one. There is no evil in God's presence. Have you ever been in the presence of God and felt evil? Have you been in the presence of God, and even if you really got in the presence of God, even what was on you that was evil, oppression, or whatever, was dispelled immediately once you got in the presence of God? Because evil cannot stand in the presence of God. Neither can negativity or anything else. It doesn't exist. So even though you may not have been before the throne in the natural or in the spiritual, just getting in his presence in your present state dispels anything evil. Why? Because there is none. So anything that comes at you here that's negative, brought before God, is turned to positive. Satan meant it for evil, God used it for good. Right? Whew, Jesus. Help me explain this to them. You know how you understand something, but you got to put it into words? So we talked about before, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask, think, or dare imagine. And the question I posed to you was, but how can you believe for something that you can't even imagine? How can you believe for something that you can't even enter into? It has not entered into the heart of man what God will do for you. Well, how can I believe for something that has not even entered into the heart of me that God can do for me? And I said, God, you're exposing to me mysteries and things in this season that intellectually don't make sense and can't be explained. I just have to believe. And he said, no, they can be explained. And then he led me to the scripture. Is anything impossible for God? Is there anything that you can believe me for that I've told you that I will do, that's impossible? Is there any imagination that you can't have, even though it can't enter into your mind, is already in my mind? And if you're one with me, then what's in my heart enters into your heart for you. And then you can believe what you not couldn't even know about before, or did not know about before, because it's entered into you because you've entered into me. Christ in you, you in Christ. Oh, I hope you're catching where I'm going right here. See, I can't imagine what's in you. And I can't imagine what's for me that you have for me, because it goes beyond my ability. But if I'm in you and you're in me, then what's in you gets in me. And then I turn what's in me over to you, and you manifest what you have already in you that is now in me, because I'm in you and you're in me. Whew. I said, okay, so there's no logic to this. It's just truth. And truth in the kingdom of God does not align with man's logic, but God's power is not found in our logic. It's found in our trust. God's logic is not what we could ever conceive. So it says, I will speak things to you that confound you, and only thing required of you is your trust in what I said. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I need to say there's a when we look at the ultimate picture, and then we look at where we are, and we begin to size up what God said with the reality around us, we begin now to push God out of us and us in him. And we try to say, God, stand outside of me and work with me to do the thing that I'm trying to believe you called me to do. And he says, it doesn't work that way. You have to be in me, and then I in you, giving you control to give me control back. Who am I talking to today? So I said, okay, God, you making me talk. And I was talking, when I was talking with the Jones yesterday, I said, and this morning I said, I know I sound like some weird monk up on the hill spouting out a bunch of weird stuff. But if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you God had me lay there and he rested on me and he made me speak all these things into the air. And I felt something was pulled out of me and something was put in different. So now I'm seeing the realm of the spirit in a way that I'm saying, well, God, how are you expecting me to explain this? And he said, is there anything impossible for God? So I'm explaining it to you, and I know as I'm explaining it to you, your mind can't compute, but your spirit bears witness with what's being said. And this is the place that you're being called to, the place of the impossible that's really not impossible when you're dealing with a God where everything is possible. Now, I want to read this verse to you again, because when I've read it in my past, I've always read, is there anything impossible for God? But there's something that leads to this that makes that statement make sense. Verse 27, I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is there anything impossible for me? So he is saying, is anything impossible for me, because I've made all mankind? So this is not him boasting about how impossible, how he can do the impossible. He is saying, I made you, so therefore there's nothing that you can't do, because I am the maker of you, and I know how you work, and I know how to work in you if you're in me. So now I'm starting to confront the impossibilities. Hear what I'm about to say, saints. I'm addressing the impossibilities and the limitations that I've courted, dated, married, associated with, that I don't acknowledge that I do. I'm about to take you somewhere. Because whether you want to admit it or not, all of us have limitations on God and his ability when it comes to us. All of us, whether we use our complexion, where we came from, our educational levels, what's in our bank account right now. In fact, I don't really know how to do that kind of stuff. I don't really even like that kind of stuff. I don't even know if I want to do that kind of stuff. We all have our impossibilities that we've created for God that we don't even know that we've created. I've called you to start a company. I've called you. I remember when Nellie spoke a couple of months ago and said to me that God gave her this word for me for $50 billion. And immediately I was aware of, that's not even in my thoughts, vocabulary, conversation, imagination, or even desire. That's not something. And right away, I was aware at that moment of a weakness. I was aware of that moment of an insecurity. I was aware of that moment of a fear. I was aware of at that very moment that there was a part that I could be called to that I have decided was an impossibility. Well, it's not impossible for God, but it's impossible for me. And God said to me with this verse, but I am the maker of all flesh. I made you like I made you. And I'm saying to you that there's nothing that you're called to on this planet that's an impossible. Well, you know, some people just born can sing and they gifted with that. And I ain't called to that. Well, if he said you are, you are. If you think I'm lying, you know, listen to some of these people and see some of the people, the worst singers in the world, the biggest stars that ever were, you know, and you go, how is that possible? Well, they believe to accept an impossibility as a possibility. They believe that whatever this is they're called to do is possible to do, even though their abilities presently or what they've allowed themselves to be availed to does not agree with that truth. So now you're older. So of course that can't be for you. And you know, yeah. Okay. And so all of these things and God is going, yeah. But notice in the Bible is usually these old people that God do these great things with because they get old enough to surrender their inhibitions to what God has said and what God has said alone. So where am I going? Where am I wrapping this up? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You in Christ is the power to see that glory. Just Christ in you is not enough. It's you in Christ. It's God in you, you in God. And as we surrender to that, God will begin to open up our hearts and our imaginations and our minds to things that scare you. And if you don't have that happening, then you are just spending time before God. We had this conversation this morning. What God will fill the cup that you come to him with. Hear me out. God will fill the container that you come to him with. So if you come to him, well, you know, I just need enough to pay my bills. And I'm just believing now I'm going to get to it. And I'm just thanking God I'm going to have a raise today. And I'm just believing God I can get this. And that's the size of your container. He will fill that container. So you want a cup, you want a bowl, you want a pan, you want a car, you want a truck, you want a dump truck, you want a building, whatever it is you bring to God to fill, he fills. And that's where new imaginations come from. So I'm gonna wrap it up on this. Watch this, I'm gonna bring it home. How many of you can say, yes, there are things in me that have been sitting in me for years that are much bigger than what I'm experiencing. And I know it and almost giving up on it at points because it's taken so doggone long to come because I don't see at this point after all this time how it could possibly be real. I don't want to quit and give up on God. But if I be honest in my heart, I can't really say I'm kind of like, well, God, if it just happens, it's just going to happen. But I just really don't. I'm not going to make you put your hands up and put yourself on the spot. I can see it in your faces, okay? Okay, your face is telling me everything I need to know. So what I'm saying is this. I want us now, in the name of Jesus Christ we serve, to take those scary and those limited places that we box God out of and take each one of them and let them intimidate you and say, here they are again. The dream you gave me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, here it is. Tear down the walls I've built around it. Tear down the imaginations I've put to it. Get rid of the fears that I've limited you to based on who I am. And here it is. Unbox this thing and what do you call those things? With the doctor put on you clear? Resuscitate. Resuscitate that vision in me again. Resuscitate that dream in me new. Take everything out from around me that the enemy in life has convinced me that what I'm believing, if it comes, is going to have to be some miracle that I don't understand, and help me understand that I am the miracle that you've created, Christ in me, me in Christ, to see this thing come to pass. My hands, everything that pertains to life and godliness was given to me. You've given me this. I am your voice in the earth. I am your hands and feet in the earth. I am you in the earth. Give me, Lord, today, right now, a resuscitation of the vision and the dream and the desires that you've given me, and take them away from the package that I've created around them. And I'm going to get in you, and I'm going to let you get in me, and then you're going to control, because you are the maker of my flesh. And Lord, there is nothing impossible for you in the flesh that you made me in. This is where the power will begin to show itself in your life again. This is where those dreams and visions will begin to be realized again. Stop looking to the left and the right. Stop looking at man. When I say looking at man, even yourself. Stop looking at self, because you are ambassadors on this planet to do the work of God. And he's giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there's nothing that's hard for God. So therefore, there's nothing that's hard for you if he's in you and you're in him. In Jesus' name, amen.